Capaccio. Sound. 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 Capaccio. On WGR.
Joining us here at St. John Fisher is Mr. Sal Capaccio. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. It's a nice day here. Nice, sunny, cloudless, breezy. It is going to be hot today, though. It's been hot. Yesterday was hot. It's hot here.
It is. I have not, I think maybe was that one morning where you guys were talking about maybe wearing a long sleeve, but otherwise it really hasn't happened here.
It was the first day. Morning we were here. He telling me about how I used to forget my quarter zip. I remembered a hoodie.
I forgot.
He forgot one. And every day since, I don't think we've needed one.
Yeah, it's
even this early, like at 6 a.m.
I mean, it's been getting to close to or not over 90 degrees a few times here.
Yeah.
Luckily, the team's off the field. When I say that, I mean luckily like, for the players not having to deal with it, about 11:30, 11:40 pretty much every day. But it gets really toasty for sure.
Do I feel like we complain about that more than the players would anyway? Because a lot of these players are from Florida and California.
There are definitely hotter camps, I would think. Maybe not. I mean, you know.
Do the Rams still go to Hawaii? That was mini camp.
Like the real field today around here is going to be about 90 degrees in the afternoon. But like you said, they'll be off the field by then. Sal joining us here from St. John Fisher. Coverage brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. All right, before we get into some stuff about positional battles, injury news, we see the Bills kind of dipping into the depth receiver market because of injuries to Shavers and Laviska Shenault and even Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel. Like, Sal, they're kind of trying to find anybody to fill spots just to practice, it seems.
Yeah, and I think that's where you start, where you need bodies to practice. You can't have Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer taking every rep. Right? You can't do that. And you know, I know you got guys in the bottom end of the roster, but, you know, you have to have people to rotate in, and especially depending on what period you're doing. You know, every day is different. There's a practice plan. Are you running – if you're running – red zone is different than if you're running two-minute offense. You got to stick with your practice plan. Well, who do we have? We got to bring guys in and out. You can't have the same guys running every play and every rep. And then the more you put on the other guys, if you say, well, we're just down a few guys, well, that's more risk for them to get hurt as well, and you don't want that. So it's a bit of a balance with everybody when it comes to that. And then on top of that, you know, if there's guys out there that you want to get a look at just in case for down the road, I always say, yes, this is maybe different at wide receiver. They are a little bit banged up. But teams bring guys in all the time early in the season so that if something happens later in the season, they know they've seen them. They've talked to them. They've worked them out. So you could bring in a Justin Ross right now, which is the report they worked out Justin Ross. Maybe don't sign him, but maybe week eight you're like, oh, man, we need a receiver. Oh, yeah, remember we just worked out Justin Ross 2 months ago, let's check back in on him instead of saying we've never met the guy, right? I mean, it's a lot. That's a lot of the reason why you do those things.
Do you feel like most of these receivers, especially Saylor, sound like they might be more on the we're holding them out to be conservative more than anything that sounds long term right now?
I think so. Yeah, we can run through the list here, right? Let's run through the list of
hamstring for Samuel.
There we go. Right. Shavers, the ankle is not serious, which is great.
Okay, right,
but he can't practice right now. So Sean McDermott said a couple days. I'm guessing maybe they give him today off again because tomorrow's an off day.
Yep.
And then they get back and, you know, we'll see on Thursday. So hamstring for Samuel, general soreness for Elijah Moore. What does that mean, right? I mean, how is that something that continues on? Caden Prather, a hamstring injury. Saw him go to the tent the other day, came out with a wrap on his leg. And then there's one more I'm missing here, I think. Shavers. Samuel.
Then we have the receivers. I mean, Kincaid,
the receivers.
Kincaid would be next.
And Kincaid has knee soreness, which is very concerning. So, yeah, I don't know, Jeremy. Like, the fact that, like, no one's going on, like, you know, some sort of list is good.
Right.
You know, you can't put a guy in IR right now anyway. He'd be out for the year, basically. You can't do that. So you got to kind of treat it delicately. I do think, judging by the way they treated Dawson Knox, and he's come back now, he hasn't practiced yet, but he was activated with his hamstring. Very cautious, so hopefully that's just what they're doing with everybody here.
Sal, yesterday's the first fully padded practice. You know, a lot of guys talking about how that the intensity comes up, and then one of the storylines from the last couple days is that McDermott wants them to be nasty, that Alec Anderson was kicked out of a practice for a nasty, disrespectful hit. So the Bills are, you know, we were talking about it earlier. They really have built a bully, and the offense plays such a physical style that the pads go on, and it's the offense that's excited about that opportunity to start smashing guys. And, you know, crossing a line is something McDermott's, of course, going to keep an eye on. Like, he wants them nasty, but he doesn't want them to be dirty.
I like Sean's response when he was asked about all that, and he said, because, you know, you can get this from coaches. When these things happen, these fights happen, he said, fights happen in practice. He said, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm for fights or against fights. Like, that, you just don't do that. It's not like, oh, yeah, I want my guys to fight, or no, don't ever fight. It's, hey, these are going to happen. Are we doing it, like, once it happens, are you getting back in and getting it done, and you're done, and you didn't do anything completely wrong and over the line, but if something happens over the line, that's where he has an issue. That's what happened with Alec Anderson. I don't know, like, I didn't see the exact play from Alec Anderson, but what he said was, you have to have respect for another man's career. And if not, and you're crossing the line, that's what he's not going to tolerate. And that's why he sent Alec Anderson off the field that particular day. He said he's addressed it with Alec. Yeah. They've talked about it. I think we all know now that Alec Anderson is a guy that if you said, hey, someone might get kicked out of practice for, you know, doing something, maybe we'd get to Alec Anderson first. If that doesn't have to be a bad thing. What it is something where he has to control his aggression a little bit sometimes.
Sure.
He has to understand what's acceptable, what's not acceptable right there.
I wonder if, I mean, we kind of have to do this with everything. Is that a hard knock story we're going to see?
Oh, yeah,
are they
going to
address it with the team after? I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you're constantly wondering how this whole this little balance happens. You don't want to call out a player publicly, but you want to make sure, like, if McDermott wants to stand on what he stands for, it's an opportunity to do that and say, like, you know, if they want that in there, then yes, I addressed it with the team, and we're going to be physical, we're going to be this, we're not going to be dirty. Like, that's, you know, that's going to be part of his culture.
Yeah, and when you said, like, the offensive players get excited, I'll give you a great example. They went to one-on-ones with O-line, D-line yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they've done this before, but now you have pads on. You're going hard. It's a edge rusher or a interior guy. And it's one-on-one, and whistle goes, and he's got to get to the quarterback. And the offense won their share of reps. Defense won a couple. I think the offense did a great job overall. But I heard someone on the offensive side yell, and I don't know who it was, yell after one of the offensive guys won the rep, and the defensive defender couldn't get there, he yelled, "That's right, pads are on now. Pads are on now," meaning you can't just blow by us now, right? We got pads on. Now we can actually get in your face, and we can actually put hands on you. And they were getting after. They were getting nasty. Then you go watch one-on-ones DBs against receivers.
Yeah.
Man, Benford and KJ Hamler were into each other.
Yeah.
It was fun and interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, they got nose-to-nose, face-mask to face-mask, barking at each other to a point where Hamler was up, and Benford was trying to yank whoever was out of the drill. He wanted him again. And coaches are like, no, you'll get him again. So, whoever it was, I don't even remember, it might have been Jamarcus Singer or Taron Johnson, they go, and then Hamler came back, and him and Benford went at it again. It was great.
So, speaking of wide receivers and DBs, it seems like there's a growing belief that, not that there's a problem for Hairston, but that Trey White is having a good camp, and he's above Hairston right now on the depth chart, and like that possibility for him to be the starter is real.
Listen, I've said it this way since before camp began. What I believe would happen is that Tre'Davious White would be the penciled-in starter. Max Hairston would have every chance to win that job, but he's going to have to win it. It's not that Trey has to lose it, because I don't think Trey's going to lose the job. Trey's going to be steady, and he's going to be the guy that they know what he's supposed to do, what he's doing. They're going to trust him. I think Max Hairston has every ability to try and win that job, but he's got to beat out Tre'Davious White. And I don't want to say it like it's Tre'Davious White's job to lose, because I think they know what they're getting, Trey. He's got this floor, and that's who he is. Can Max Hairston elevate past that?
Yeah, you're almost saying Trey can't lose it. It's more Hairston has to take it from him.
Has to take it from him.
Right, so it's Hairston's – it almost is – you could say it's Harrison's job to win without saying he's in the lead right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. And look, I think preseason's going to matter when they go out there and you have to see him perform. You have to see Tre'Davious White in regular game action still a little bit, right? And I know as a veteran starter, we're not going to see him a lot. You're going to see Hairston. That's where he's going to get his opportunity. Max Hairston's going to play in preseason, and we're going to see, but – hey, listen, this isn't a surprise to me that Tre'Davious White is the penciled-in starter and he's playing pretty well. I think Tre'Davious White has looked as fresh and as good as you could expect him to look in this situation. It's going to come down to, can he still make the high-end play, stay with a receiver down the field? Like, if you start to see, man, like, we're just he's just lost a little bit, you might have to start pivoting and thinking, do we have a younger guy here who might be able to do that? But what's the risk-reward by putting Max Harrison in at that point?
Benford continues to look strong.
I mean, he was the best player out here yesterday.
Yeah,
Christian Benford was locked down yesterday. And, yes, he had, like, 5-6 reps, and there were a couple times a ball got caught on him. But, I mean, he wasn't beaten down the field. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then one time Khalil caught it, and they were wrestling. He punched it out. But, anyway, he was the best player. And I did some numbers. $17.25 million is his contract extension on a per-year annual average, right?
Yep.
19th paid quietest cornerback in the league, and that doesn't even kick in until next year. He's going to be like 25th highest paid probably by the time the contract even starts.
Yeah. Can you hang out for another segment?
I got to go on BEN, actually, but I'll be around if you guys want me.
All right, maybe come back and hang out for a minute after BEN.
Okay.
All right. 803-0550, we'll get a call in. Sales popping up for BEN. We got to get a break in. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.